you wanna be like all those beautiful people. Wanna be, don't you wanna be like.
It's time to get on set, walk the runway, and get scouted. ModelScouts.com proudly presents Model Talk Radio with your host, Aaron Marcus. In this program, you'll learn how to get discovered, find work, and navigate the business of modeling and acting. And now, here is your host, Aaron Marcus.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, your host on Model Talk Radio. For the next hour, we'll be talking about the acting and modeling industry. And this forum will give you the opportunity to learn, ask questions, and hopefully stop dreaming and instead begin the process of working as an actor and or model. Now, many people have mentioned to me how they were always interested in acting or modeling for themselves or their children, or they were told that they should be in magazine ads or on TV, but simply never pursued it. And perhaps they mistakenly thought that they were too old, not tall enough, they didn't live in a major market, or maybe they had no idea how to go about doing this. What I found is that quite often, without the right information and guidance, people simply, they're just too scared to pursue the industry. So by listening to this program, which will run every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will learn from me and my guests the best way to get started and or get more work in the acting and modeling industry. And with the 26-plus years I've been working as an actor and a commercial model, I'll share with you in an honest and practical way the best way to enter or advance a career on a part or full-time basis. So if you have any questions during the show, feel free to call me toll-free. It's 1-866-472-5788, or you can reach me by email at modeltalk@modelscouts.com. And if you have any problems reaching me during the show, you can always contact me through my website, howtomodel.com. Now, I'd like to bring on my first guest, Joe Henson. Let me tell you a little bit about Joe. He's been a professional photographer for over 25 years, and he is considered by many to be one of the industry's premier publicity portrait headshot photographers. Listen to this. He has shot over 15,000 clients. That's right, 15,000 clients, including Annette Bening, Dick Cavett, Doc Severinsen, Tyler Perry, Selma Blair, Sean Young, and Lisa Lampanelli. That must have been a really fun shoot. I'd like to ask you about that sometime. Now, Joe is equally at home shooting actors, CEOs, writers, children, politicians, performers, families, artists, and world-famous celebrities. His commercial work has been exhibited in numerous magazines, including Vogue, the Oprah Magazine, Entertainment Weekly, TV Guide, Soap Opera Digest, and the New York Times. Joe's work has also been featured on book jackets, corporate brochures, DVD covers, billboards, and in feature films. So, I'd like to welcome to Model Talk Radio, Joe Henson.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. I'm excited to be on, and I hope that we get a chance to demystify and take the stress out of the headshot process for your listeners.
Hey, that sounds great. So let me start from the very beginning. Maybe, you know, look, everybody's always heard about headshots, but maybe you can really describe in plain and simple terms what exactly is a headshot. And there's a second part to this. Also, how would you describe the difference between a commercial headshot from a theatrical headshot? So let's just start. If you could just explain, what is a commercial headshot?
A commercial headshot is a photograph of an actor that expresses qualities and types that are interesting to casting people. There's a term in the consciousness right now, which is avatar. And I don't think there's any greater symbol of an avatar than an actor's headshot. As a matter of fact, I looked up avatar on the internet, and it said in Hinduism, it's the embodiment of hope. And certainly headshots are the embodiment of hope for a lot of actors out there. So what we've got is you can't be everywhere as an actor, but you can represent yourself in a way that is clear and gains attention and makes a statement to the people who can hire you in the industry. They're like your little ambassadors that march out and make contact for you, the first line of defense.
And so now, how would you differentiate between a commercial headshot from a theatrical headshot?
Well, commercial headshots are used to try to be cast in TV commercials. Commercials are usually cast in fairly broad categories. They're recognizable categories that you see every day on TV commercials. There's the mom, the dad, the suffering dad. There's corporate experts. There's pop culture kids. And in commercials, although currently things are a little hipper and more up-to-date in terms of the types that are represented, the types are fairly familiar even from the past, like the progressive auto insurance lady is kind of an updated version of Madge the manicurist who did the Palmolive commercial. So right. Basically what we want to express in a commercial headshot are types that you would be represent in a TV commercial, and within that type, what specific elements do you have that are individual and a hook for selling a product? Mm-hmm. The legit shot, the shot that you would use for theatrical work, represents types within the theater, film, and TV market. And those, again, are very broad types at the beginning. You've got the good guys and the bad guys. You've got the romantic leads. You've got the villains. You've got the femme fatale. You've got these defined types of people that are in the public's consciousness, and they're the audience that you play to.
And from a visual point of view, as a photographer, how would you and I don't want to get into like a whole lot of real technical stuff, because most of us, including myself, really know nothing about photography. But if we were looking at a photo, is there an easy way that we would be able to tell the difference? Oh, yeah, that looks like a theatrical headshot. That looks like a commercial one.
Sure. Commercial headshots typically work with a very bright, upbeat kind of image. And for the most part, agents out there want to see a smile. They want to see what your teeth look like. They want to see big, bright energy, because that's what usually is used to sell products on TV. The legit shot can be more dramatic. It can be more intense. But it should also be whatever is the strongest expression of that particular person. Some people are born to do comedy. Some people, lightness and warmth come from their presence. And in that case, the theatrical shot might be a smile. But typically, we go for something more soulful, sensitive, intense, dramatic in the legit shot.
So I guess for no matter whether you're going for a commercial headshot or a theatrical headshot, I guess in some ways the number one thing that has to be done is for the actor to figure out who that person is according to the world. Doesn't necessarily have to be that person in real life, but how is that person going to be cast? How is that person going to be sent out, you know, on auditions? It seems like that is absolutely crucial in order to really capture a great headshot for somebody.
I think that's the most important element and maybe the most misunderstood element in presenting yourself as an actor. The people that I've photographed who are the most successful had the clearest knowledge of what they brought to the table. It wasn't necessarily what they wanted to be. It was what they were to their audience, what they were perceived as. And once you understand what that is, and it's something that has to come through some experience and some very honest evaluations of what you are, then you can take that and polish it up to be the best it can possibly be. And that's the key to success in the acting world. Find out what you are, present it to people in the clearest, most polished way possible.
Now, I realize you're not a psychotherapist, but as a photographer, I'm assuming that in some ways you really are kind of playing the role of a therapist and trying to get a real understanding of who that person is so that you can really capture the personality. So if somebody is pretty new, they really don't know that much about what they are doing, how in the world do you sit down and figure out what is the essence of this person? How are they going to be submitted, you know, for certain types of jobs?
I think, honestly, it's extremely clear to me. I think that was a skill that I had even before I became a photographer. When someone walks in my door, before they've even sat down, I am taking in a lot of the qualities that they have. It's their looks, it's their size, it's their voice, it's their personality, it's their style. And that all coalesces into the presence of what an actor is about. I don't know if I could do it on myself, because it's more difficult when it's turned inward. But outward, I can see it the moment I see someone. It's as clear as day to me. And it's not something that has to be dug for. It's not something that needs to be, excavated from the client. It's something that is fairly clear. My job is really to stay out of the way of changing it, but bring it out and polish it up. It's like unearthing a diamond and finding the right facets to polish and to show.
Now we have a question, and I should probably throw the question out. Maybe you can think about it for about a minute, because we're going to be going to break pretty soon. But got a question from someone about, what is the difference between a commercial headshot and a fashion shot? They call them beauty shots, which is a clean shot of your face with little or no makeup. Do you have, and I don't know if you've had much experience in the fashion world with shooting any fashion shots, but any comments about differences between some fashion shots and a commercial headshot?
Sure. The biggest difference is reality. Fashion shots are an idealized version of people. They are they're typically retouched to death. They're the person represented as the ultimate embodiment of beauty. The commercial shots are not always about beauty. They're about familiarity. They're about reality. So, it's funny. People come to me and they say, well, I was thinking I need to lose 10 pounds before I do my shots, or I need to do this or that to change myself. And my feeling generally is, if they are a recognizable type and they look real and believable, they should stick with what they are and not necessarily think of this as something they need to train for.
Great. Hey, Joe, we're going to take a real quick break. We will come back with Joe Henson and talk more about photography. This is Aaron Marcus, and looking forward to talking with you again soon on Model Talk Radio in about 2 minutes.
Beautiful.
Have you dreamed of becoming a top fashion or commercial model but don't know where to start? Or are you already a model looking to expand your representation to international markets? If so, then you need to check out ModelScouts.com. ModelScouts.com is the number one choice for aspiring models who want to get scouted by top modeling agencies and clients around the world. Our scouts have discovered and signed hundreds of new models, including supermodel Coco Rocha and Cycle 5 winner of America's Next Top Model, Nicole Linkletter, with the world's top modeling agencies. Our models have appeared in Vogue, Glamour, Marie Claire, and Cosmopolitan, and have worked for Chanel, Gucci, Prada, Abercrombie & Fitch, and more. If you've dreamed about becoming a model, look no further than ModelScouts.com. We want to meet you. No experience is required, and all ages, heights, and sizes are welcome. Visit ModelScouts.com and get scouted today. You are tuned in to Model Talk Radio with Aaron Marcus, presented by ModelScouts.com. Do you have a question that we can answer for you? Call us toll-free in North America at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to modeltalk@modelscouts.com, and we can answer your question that way. Now, back to Model Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Aaron Marcus. Welcome back to Model Talk Radio. Once again, if you want to call in, it's 1-866-472-5788, or you can email your question to modeltalk@modelscouts.com. And we are talking with Joe Henson. Actually, I am talking with Joe Henson, and I'd like to welcome him back. Joe, I've got one more technical question that I would like to ask you, and then I want to move into questions more about how do people deal with photographers. One of the questions that a lot of people ask are, what are some of the differences between a New York headshot, an LA headshot, or if you are living in a secondary market, whether it's Baton Rouge or Atlanta, I mean, what are some of the differences between those kinds of photos?
Well, I'm based in New York, and so I know that probably the freshest. But from what I understand, what I've seen, the LA headshots tend to be more natural light. They tend to be a little bit more glamorized, like LA is. And people in LA have shots done about every 6 months. They tend to change headshots as often as they change wardrobe. So that's one main difference. In New York, New York is the theatrical capital of the known universe. And so theater shots that are more dramatic, shots that have more of a dramatic atmosphere, typically you're going to see those coming out of New York. I shoot in a lot of different markets. I travel to Boston. I travel to Washington, D.C. I'm about to start traveling to Pittsburgh and to Richmond. And what I've learned is that within those markets outside of the mainstream markets of New York and L.A., there are sometimes patches, areas of concentration in how people are cast that may not be what happens in the big cities. So when I shoot in D.C., I constantly get asked to do a corporate shot because there's a lot of government work there, there's a lot of industrials there, and so people in that marketplace really need a shot that's geared toward what's being cast in that particular area.
Got it. Okay, so when somebody is living in, let's say, a secondary market, and it's a city that you haven't gone into yet to shoot, so they don't have the option to shoot with you, and they're researching photographers, once again, assuming that they really don't know much about the technical aspects of photography, what would you recommend? Like, when somebody even comes into you, what kind of questions do you want people to ask so that, you know, they really have a clear understanding of what they're getting into and how to make the right decision that this is the right photographer for them?
Right. Well, there's really two elements to choosing a photographer. One aspect is just how technically good are they at doing photography. That's something that, you know, most of the people who come to see me, I'm not sure that they really understand what they're evaluating in terms of technique. There are a lot of great photographers out there. What differentiates a great headshot photographer from one who's not as good is the fact that they are the master of a lot of different types of photography, natural light, studio light, mixed light, that their pictures look clear and sharp and effective, and that they make you interested in the person you're seeing. You know, this photograph has to reach out to people. It has to make contact. And the way you do that is through technical perfection, and also just the photographer has to appeal to you so that you will feel confident and relaxed in your photo shoot. That's so important because a lot of people come to photography in a very uptight way. They know that it's important. They know that it's going to make a big difference in their career. They've got a lot of money on the line, and it's in an area that they're not an expert at. Even, you know, the most talented actors, I've photographed Tony winners, Emmy winners. When they get in front of a still camera, it's a whole different story. They can tend to feel a little bit frozen in the headlights?
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I really dread doing headshots. I mean, please don't take that personally, but I do because they scare me. They, you know, in here, you know, I've done over 1,100 jobs, and if you tell me, if you hired me for a commercial shot and I ask you, okay, so what are you looking for, and you tell me, that's easy. But really, when you are, you know, like we talked earlier, when you are really showing yourself and you have to project, and you're really, you know, you're exposing, you know, who you are in this world, and that can be a kind of a scary thing. So, as a follow-up question to that, when somebody does come in and you can tell they're feeling nervous, they're uptight, they're anxious, what do you do to try to help relax somebody?
Well, I think that the first way to deal with that is to, for both people to be very honest, to recognize that this is a heightened experience, that a lot is on the line and that it can raise tensions. For me, I know how to do what I do, and I'm not going to be nervous about the photographic aspect of photographing anyone. And I think that that transfers, you know, nervousness is like contagious. And if the person you're with is not nervous, feels calm to you, feels honest, shows that they're interested in you, shows that they have the ability to do what you've hired them to do, it calms you down. I shoot digital and I shoot tethered to a computer for the most part, which means I'm able to show my clients the photographs as I'm taking them. And that has been an amazing switch from film. People who can immediately see how good their photographs are tend to calm right down because their biggest worry is taken care of right then and there. They are going to look good, and that's going to just build their confidence and allow them to really come out and try to work with the camera in an interactive way.
And so with in today's shooting, because most agents have websites, do you find that you have to shoot somebody's headshot slightly different than in the past to make sure that the face really stands out on an agent's website if they're, you know, just sending out JPEGs?
Sure. Well, the styles have changed dramatically in the 28 years that I've been shooting. And, you know, it started with a very kind of staid and fixed a frame around the person that did not cut into them in any way, put a perfect frame around their face. That gave way in the, I guess, late 80s to three-quarter shots, which were all the rage in New York for some time. Shots that showed the actor down to their waist or a little bit below gave more of a physical presence of the person. Currently, the style is all over the map, but close-ups, really close-in shots, are the most effective way to present yourself in a website because images on a screen on a computer are usually pretty small. So to get the impact, you got to come in close. You've got to address a person's energy in a strong way. You've got to come right in on them. So as people's sophistication has grown in terms of processing information, you know, if you look at old films, a lot of them seem really slowly paced because the audience was not up on the language of film the way they are now. And the same with photography. You know, photographers cut into the hair of a person because we all know that there's probably a little bit of hair above that frame, but we don't have to show every square inch of it to get the gist of what somebody's about.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you haven't had complaints from casting directors or agents saying, well, I'm assuming that the person really does have their head on top of their head, but they would like to see it. People are generally okay with having tops of the head chopped off.
Well, I think some old school people tend to let things die hard, but I think that most people nowadays, you know, horizontal shots became in vogue about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. And it was sort of a natural transition because television is horizontal, film is horizontal, and computer monitors are horizontal. And when you do a close-up on any of those mediums, you have to crop into the hair to come in close enough to actually get the intensity of somebody. If you were to show the very top of their head, you'd be down to the middle of their chest in the perspective of the television screen or the movie screen or the computer screen. So I think people have gotten more used to seeing things that way and realize that they're not being deceived, but that they're just being given greater access.
Now, I know we're kind of starting to wind things up here. I did want to ask about makeup artists. I've always made sure that I had a makeup artist on the set whenever I'm doing a headshot for a couple of reasons. One, they're going to make me look better than the way that I'm going to apply it. And two, I've got like an extra set of eyes watching during the photo shoot. Do you have any feelings about, you know, hiring makeup artists? Or...
Well, I use a hair and makeup artist for every shoot that I do. So that tells you one thing. I'm very sure that it improves the quality of the image, but it's not just any hair and makeup artist. It's a very talented person who can listen to what you want and translate it into the photographic world. And the best people in hair and makeup, the best people in retouching, do work that isn't noticed. The point of these pictures should look like you came in and by some miracle just happened to look great. Never let them see you sweat.
Got it. Hey, Joe, I wanted to thank you so much. Been wonderful. We're going to be heading to a break right now. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We've been talking to Joe Henson, just a great commercial and headshot photographer based in New York who does travel to many cities and shoots people all over the place. Joe, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
You bet, Aaron. Thank you.
Sure.
Have you dreamed of becoming a top fashion or commercial model but don't know where to start? Or are you already a model looking to expand your representation to international markets? If so, then you need to check out ModelScouts.com. ModelScouts.com is the number one choice for aspiring models who want to get scouted by top modeling agencies and clients around the world. Our scouts have discovered and signed hundreds of new models, including supermodel Coco Rocha and Cycle 5 winner of America's Next Top Model, Nicole Linkletter, with the world's top modeling agencies. Our models have appeared in Vogue, Glamour, Marie Claire, and Cosmopolitan, and have worked for Chanel, Gucci, Prada, Abercrombie & Fitch, and more. If you've dreamed about becoming a model, look no further than ModelScouts.com. We want to meet you. No experience is required, and all ages, heights, and sizes are welcome. Visit ModelScouts.com and get scouted today.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, and welcome back to Model Talk Radio. If you have any questions at all, you can call toll-free at 1-866-472-5788, or you can email questions into modeltalk@modelscouts.com. So we've got a bunch of questions that have been sent in, so let me get started here. The first question is from a woman up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And she wanted to know, she's really interested in doing some modeling. She has no idea how to go about finding a photographer. And also, she wants to find an agent as well. So that's a great question. You know, whenever you're living in a secondary market, and any city outside of New York, L.A., Chicago, I guess, and maybe perhaps Miami, those are considered secondary markets. And there are many ways of trying to find representation and finding photographers. One of the things that you can do is try to find some advertising agencies, because any advertising agency in your particular area is going to need models and they're going to need photographers. So the people that you want to track down and find at the ad agencies are the art and creative directors. The creative director is the person who comes up with the concept for the ad campaign. And then the art director is the person who takes that idea, puts it down on paper, and then they actually show it to the client, whoever the ad is for. And once it gets approved, then they find the photographer, show them the layout, which is what the ad's going to look like. And then they have to find models for the shot. So I would first try to find some advertising agencies. And what you can do is ask the art and or creative directors at the ad agencies, when you are shooting ads, who are some of the photographers in your area that you hire? And that is a great way to try to find photographers. And you can also ask the art and creative directors which agents you go through. So anyhow, those are really helpful ways of trying to find some photographers and agents in your area. Okay, we have another question here from a gentleman in Virginia, who said he just got offered to do a photo shoot in Virginia for a beautiful wine vineyard and wants to know if I can give him any advice. Well, there are a lot of questions you want to be asking before you accept the photo shoot. Number one, and this holds true for anything that you're going to be doing. Number one, you've got to make sure that you are comfortable being a part of this project. I know some models that refuse to do work for meat products. It could be cigarettes. It could be alcohol. It could be gambling, whether it's lotteries or whatever it is. The important thing is make sure that you know exactly what the product is and you're comfortable with it. I would also be asking the photographer, and I'm assuming you're just going directly through a photographer and not going through an agent, which honestly, I think you would be better off, much better off going through an agent. Now, and I'll tell you why in one second. Sometimes people have said to me, well, why would I want to give up a 20% commission fee to an agent that hasn't done anything for this particular job? And that's true, and that's a fair question. But I'll tell you why it still would be in your best interest to send it through an agent. Number one, the agent will know exactly what kind of fees you should be getting. But let's just say in your particular market, you know that, let's say, $125 or $150 an hour is the going rate for a commercial model in the Virginia area. But let's say you find out, and this is another question you have to ask, how is the ad being used? You know, is it being used in a newspaper, in a magazine, in a brochure, or is it running in a high exposure format? Those are going to be billboards, posters, on the side of a bus, on a product, on the internet. Typically, when you are in a high exposure format, you're going to get a bonus. So if the photographer comes back to you and says, look, this ad is going to be running on posters all throughout Virginia, what is your fee for the high exposure usage? Well, you're probably not going to have a clue. Now, the agent will, and the agent will be able to get you a fair market fee for your work. The other problem with not going through an agent is, what happens if you don't get paid? You know, those things happen. So what you can do is, you can always go to small claims court if you wanted to go that route. But essentially, you don't have a whole lot of leverage. You know, you're going to threaten the photographer and say, I'll never work with you again. Well, the photographer probably won't be staying up at night worried about that one. But if it was sent through an agent and the agent says to the photographer, hey, just want to let you know, if you don't pay, then you're never going to get a chance to work with any of my models again. Now, that could have a serious impact with the photographer. The other reason for sending it through an agent is, look, agents make their living by taking a percentage of any booking that you get. So agents want their models and actors to work. So when you send it through an agent, what you are doing is telling the agent you are marketable, you are getting jobs, and you're making them money. Well, once they see that, why wouldn't they continue to send you out and push for you for every project that comes up? Because you're making money for them. So one of the things that I would suggest before you just book it directly, I'd seriously consider finding an agent that either you want to work with, or maybe there's an agent that you do work with, and see if they will handle the job for you. Okay, let me jump to another question here. This is from Cal, and the question is, let's see, what are some of the different age groups for commercial models? Is there really much demand for commercial models in their 60s? You know, and that's an interesting question, because in the fashion world, if you are over 21 years of age and you haven't already made it in the industry, you haven't already had real success, chances are it's not going to happen for you. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions to the rule. Of course there are. But you've got to start off at a very young age in the fashion world to really, really have success. In the commercial modeling world, one of the things that's so great about it, one of the things that I love about it, is they need everybody. I've worked with infants who are 3, 4, 5 months old. I've worked with people in their 80s. Essentially, if you can make it into a photographer's studio, there's a possibility you can work as a commercial model. Now, I would have to say, yeah, people in their, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, they're probably not getting the bulk of the work, and there's probably not a tremendous amount of work for them, but they are always getting hired. There are tons of products where they need models in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. There are magazines that shoot editorial work with people in those age categories. So absolutely, there is work for you. If you're in your 60s, the trick is making sure that you put together really strong commercial photos. And really, you want to get rid of the whole concept of just trying to look pretty in the shots, just trying to look glamorous in the shots. And instead of just posing for the camera, I mean, what you really want to learn how to do is create really strong commercial photos that look like ads. And you also want to show a variety of expressions and emotions. That is really how you build up a very, very strong portfolio. And it will also give you many more opportunities, because the photographer, the art director, the creative director, all those people can see that you have a wide range of looks that you can offer. And so even if there's a specific look that you don't have showing on the agent's website or on your composite sheet or in your portfolio, still they'll be able to see that you can do a lot of different things. And as a matter of fact, if you get a chance, if you look in my book, How to Become a Successful Commercial Model, you'll see an ad that I did there where I got cast as the rock grunge guitarist from Molson Beer. Now, normally, like if you go to my website and you take a look at me, you're going to see I don't look like a rock grunge guitarist in real life. I look like, you know, everybody's next door neighbor. I'm the guy who fixes your computer. And so when I got hired for this, first I was amazed that the photographer was able to convince the art and creative director that I was the guy. But this is somebody that I worked with for many years. He was able to show them that I've got a wide range of looks that I can bring to the table. And that's really how I was able to book this job, looking like a rock grunge guitarist with lots of piercings. And actually, it was a really, really cool shoot. So to answer your question, absolutely, you can work in your 60s. There is demand for it. You know, certainly there are different age categories where there is more work. But, you know, the thing that's really interesting in the commercial print world is you simply never, never know what is being looked for and what is needed. Now, while we were talking about, shooting with photographers and doing commercial shots, something that I wanted to share with you is it's called a model release form. And this is a very, very important legal document that you will be asked to sign at the end of every model shoot. And essentially, what it says is that you are giving the photographer permission to use your image in this ad. And you absolutely need to sign this, because without knowing how to take care of the model release form, you could potentially lose thousands of dollars. Let me do this. I am going to go to a commercial break. We will come back in about 2 minutes, and I will finish up talking about model release forms. I will also tell you a little bit about the legal rights of the photographs and who owns the rights to those things. So, this is Aaron Marcus. Glad you can join me on Model Talk Radio, and I will talk with you again in 2 minutes. Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, and welcome back to Model Talk Radio. If you have any questions, you can call toll-free at 1-866-472-5788, or you can email questions to modeltalk@modelscouts.com. So I wanted to finish up the information about the model release form. Essentially, what you really need to do is just simply make sure that the model release form reads the exact same way that your agent said the ad will run. So if it's running in a newspaper, make sure it says in there for newspaper only, for magazine, magazine only. And that is how you protect yourself. You're protecting your agent as well. Now, as far as copyrights go, it's always interesting. My understanding, and actually I wish I had Joe on the phone with me right here, but my understanding is that essentially whoever pushes the button on the camera owns the copyright to the photo. Now, that doesn't mean that the photographer can just take the photo and sell it. They can't do that at all without your permission. But essentially, if you are getting photos reproduced, sometimes printing companies will ask for a release form from the photographer giving them permission to reproduce your photo. Now, as long as you are using it for promotional purposes and you're putting it on a composite sheet or you're putting it on an agent's website, then that is fine, because you're not selling it and you don't have to get permission for that. Now, I got a question that just came in. I'm kind of jumping topics here, but that's what I like to do for this last segment of just answering questions that people have. And here's a question from Lisa, and she wanted to know, how does she get into the union and what are the requirements? Well, that's a great question. And there are three major unions for actors. You've got Equity, which is strictly for theater. The other two major unions for actors are AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and if you live in Canada, it's ACTRA, A-C-T-R-A, and the other one in the States is called SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. There are a variety of ways that you can join the unions. Let me start off with AFTRA, because that is the absolute simplest union to join. All you have to do is pay. You can just go to any AFTRA office, and you simply pay a one-time initiation fee, and then you are a member of AFTRA. And then twice a year, you'll be paying dues, and that's based on how much you earn. And there's also a flat fee, and then it's a percentage of how much you earn as well. Now, for the Screen Actors Guild, and maybe I should back up for 1 second, just explain pretty briefly exactly what AFTRA is. AFTRA is a union that, just like with SAG, they help protect talent. They are not there to get you work. They do not negotiate individual jobs for you. What they will do, though, is they will negotiate basic contracts. So, like, for instance, and I know I'm jumping into SAG, but let's say you are a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and this can vary from market to market, but typically you will earn, if you are a member of the Screen Actors Guild and you are doing extra work on a film, you are guaranteed, and it's about $139 for an 8-hour day. If you work a 9th and 10th hour, you get time and a half for those 2 hours. If you work an 11th and 12th hour, you will get double time for those hours. So basically, they will negotiate, like I said, basic contracts for actors. They also have things like meal penalties if they don't feed you within 6 hours. They make sure that you are taken care of if you're working in tough condition.